Podcast. I am the Lizard King, and we are here joined by the Beekeeper. What's up, Jake?
Beekeeper Jake in the house. How you doing, Mark? I'm very happy.
I saw you changed your Twitter handle, or your.
I did.
Yeah,
my
that,
little name. Yeah,
yeah, that made
I did
me
change
that,
it to Beekeeper Jake.
I giggled. I giggled a little bit.
Yeah, I just, you know, Nerdgrounds Jake was, I'm so much more than just the Nerdgrounds, and I mean, people are going to be finding out about that shortly.
Oh.
Me and you know. Inside joke. Inside.
Oh, gotcha. I gotcha.
Yes.
So, clearly, we're all smiles here because we don't have negativity, which is Clay. I shouldn't even say that because I was a negative Nancy. I was really bad last episode. But I feel it's because the more I'm hanging out with Clay, I'm starting to hate life. I think that's what it is. So I'm hoping that now that he's coming back from Disney, maybe some of that little Disney dust. I mean, Disney can't save themselves from Spider-Man, but
oh gosh,
that was pretty good. I had to throw it in there. But
hey,
you had
some pretty good meme gifs earlier about that. That was.
I don't know what got into me. I think it's one of those things that. You know, kind of like yes, I am a DC fan first. So I think with all the crap that like DC fans get, I think it's just people are always act like, man, they're so irrational. They overreact and all that. So I don't know why. It was just one of those things that it doesn't really bother me either way. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care also, like, if the Snyder Cut happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't care. Like, these are movies. It's not that big of a deal to me. Now, sports is a different question. Tom Brady comes out with an ACL, and I'm throwing fists. So I understand why they're doing it. But I don't know. I just kind of had to throw some stuff out there.
Yeah. No, that was – I mean, I probably stepped away from my phone. I was working during the time, and I was maybe an hour away from my phone. And then, like you said, I came back to everything just having a complete meltdown. All hell had broken loose.
I didn't even know the news at first. It's just – I think it was you know, Senor Positivity Kevin is just like dropping F-bombs on our chat, on our Comic Book Legion chat. And I was like, man, what the hell's going on? So
that's a red flag right there.
It is, because he's never angry unless it's with Clay. So then I ended up seeing it. I guess somebody posted a link or something. I'm like, oh snap! Like, this is. So my first thought was, you know, Sony will eventually cave, because I mean, it is the mouse that they're going up against. But,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see. But even though I think Sony, Disney will get their way at the end, it's at least fun just to poke at the bear a bit.
I mean, it gives us something to talk about, because I feel like, you know, that ever since Endgame kind of fizzled out, the movie world wasn't really...
I mean, I haven't seen Far From Home, so I don't...
That's right. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it was good. It's
yeah.
I don't know, man. Comic book movies to me just don't do it that much anymore. So it's. I mean, I'm gonna see the movies. I'll see every movie eventually. But if I don't see it in the theater, I'm not hurting for it.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I usually end up, because now I have kids and my kids are too young to take to the theaters, I just end up buying it when it comes out.
Yeah,
anyway,
my wife was like, you know what, babe? I wanna go see Shazam with you guys. So we saw Shazam like 2 days ago. Because, you know, she took me to the theater, like, gave me tickets, because I need to watch it in IMAX and don't bother me. I don't want to be with, like, other people that, like, just start talking and asking questions. I'm like, let me watch the movie. So she wanted to end up seeing Shazam. And she's like, how can you have taken our son to see this? She's like, this is not a children's movie. Because, you know, have you seen it?
This sounds terrible. I barely... bought it maybe like a couple weeks ago, and like the night I was watching it was the night I started to get sick with the flu, so I went to bed like halfway through because I wasn't feeling
okay.
It. So I haven't even finished it yet.
All right, have you gotten to at least the part where Savannah goes to like the boardroom with his dad?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the part where my wife's like, "How can you have taken our son to see this?" I'm like, well,
yeah,
I'm like, babe, they don't show this in the trailer. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to walk out of it. I just bought these tickets. Like, I'm not going to leave. You just cover his eyes and hope he's not scarred. You know? That's.
Well, how old is your son?
He's 8.
Okay, okay.
I mean, he's seen them all. He's seen the Avenger films. And, you know, usually,
yeah,
usually I'll see it first. if I can. But if not, then I'll take them with me. And if I can, I mean, these movies are kind of like predictable anyway, so you can kind of tell when something's going to happen. So you're like, buddy, just close your eyes, and if I don't see anything, then you can open them. Yep, and then Thanos, you know, pushes Gamora, throws her off the cliff, and, you know, there goes daddy issues, you know?
I was going to say, there's been plenty worse. There's been plenty worse than Shazam.
I'm like, Bobby, you know what? I'm not going to throw you off the mountain, buddy. I love you. Anyways.
I don't want the Soul Stone.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't matter to me. All I have to do is snap anyways, and you'll be scared. So it's like, we're all good. But anyways.
Oh, the power of dad.
Yes, the power of dad. And plus, you know, I'm tall. I'm intimidating. I mean, once I start speaking, I'm not intimidating, but I'm just—I at least have a presence about me that can scare people.
That's so enough.
It is.
That's all it takes.
Sometimes. anyway, so we got some comic books. We're recording a little bit earlier than what we normally do, so we didn't get to read every book that comes out. But I'm sure anything that we didn't touch on, I'm sure Clay would want to talk about it on the future episode. Which I'm sure he'll want to talk about, like Superman Year One, which unfortunately I didn't get a chance to read yet. But let's jump into some of the books that we did do. And this was actually my favorite one from this week. And I don't know. I know that you mentioned that the books we were going to talk about are the ones you enjoyed the most, which is actually Black Mask, Year of the Villain.
Loved it.
This was actually my favorite one. One, I don't even want to say it's because Tom Taylor, because I know Tom Taylor is all the hype right now. Honestly, what I really liked about it is that I never knew Black Mask's. I never knew, like, Roman. I never knew his origin.
Yeah.
So I found this to be very, like, oh, man, had no idea that his family had any kind of relationship with the Waynes. And clearly, Rowan absolutely hated Bruce because Bruce was the perfect child. It looked like he had the happy parents, everything, while he was kind of growing up in the abusive family. He looks kind of fugly. And no matter what, you know, the parents, they can only do so much to kind of fix what he looks like. And
yeah, because they were like obsessed with like cosmetics and, like, you know, they owned, obviously, the cosmetic company. I forget the name. But they were so obsessed with looks, and then they have this, you know, goofy looking little kid. And I mean, he wanted to go out there and, you know, go to this, you know, dinner party dressed up looking like, you know, a young
kid. Like a
kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that his parents weren't going for it.
Yeah. So when I read that, I was like, oh, man. OK. So then I like that they're now, I don't know if this is kind of like a retelling of his origin. I don't know Black Mask's origin. I only know him as, like, you know, street thug kind of crime boss kind of dude. That's all I know about him. So seeing this, I kind of like to see how the descent happened, where, you know, it was already there because he looked like a miserable kid. But when you saw, it was kind of like when he saw the smile of Bruce gone because of his parents' death, you tend to then see what became where he got the master idea. Well, you know what? Let me burn them to the ground. Because, you know, they... Man, what was his reasoning again? I think he said, like, their body deserved to be, like, deformed.
Yeah, he didn't want them to have an open casket.
Yes, he didn't want them to have an open casket. That's what it was. Yes. So...
And really quick, one of the things that was probably my favorite part of the whole thing, and like you said, I don't know his origin either. I don't know if this has ever been talked about before, but the fact that his mask was carved from his father's coffin.
What was it, father's or mother's?
I think it was father's. I'm not 100% sure, but it was one of their coffins. And just that adds such a sadistic nature to him. And, like, I remember the first time I was introduced to him was, like, during one of the old Batman cartoons. And he just looked, I don't know, there was something about him with the whole, you know, the skeletal face, black. And I don't know. He's always been super... Something about him has been appealing to me. And
no, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. It was from the father's coffin, his dad's coffin. Because we get that reveal because, of course, this is a Year of the Villain tie-in. So we got to see how Lex Luthor was able to get Rowan away from the current predicament that he was in, that it looked like he was holding some... Well, he freaking went crazy and he started shooting up people. And he had one hostage and he wanted to try to escape. And the person that was trying to apprehend him was actually Renee Montoya. And Renee Montoya, we actually get to see her later on with Kate Kane. So we got Batwoman, Renee Montoya, Lex Luthor. I was going to say Lex Luger. Lex Luthor and Black Mask here. And I don't know, man. I loved everything. I loved the fact on how they were trying to turn the story into how important it is, like masks. And you actually kind of see him in a way without his masks and how he's able to kind of... Dude, this guy's like Tom Cruise. Where he's able to kind of like change lives and continuously, like whenever one life fails, he just goes to another dude and he just does the mask. And I actually really enjoyed that. I loved the banter between Renee and Kate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always kind of like nice to see them because, again, I don't read the Batwoman book. So, I mean, I kind of like these characters in small spurts. If I get them in small spurts, I'm okay. Too much of them, I don't know why. I guess I just, me personally, I don't find them that interesting. But to be honest with you, I know in this book, Black Mask kind of gets the upper hand. And he kind of escapes here. And it looks like he's got his new face and he's got his new mask. And, you know, who knows what we're going to see from him. But I don't know. I don't know if are the Year of the Villains, are these only one-shots? Or are they, because I'm not a solicit guy, so I never know.
You know, I'm not a solicit guy either. I get all my information from our Slack chat, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
and Twitter, of course. But most of the time it's the Slack chat dinging. But I think it's just a one shot. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. Tom Taylor talking about a one shot on Twitter.
Okay. So then this is just up for our imagination on what's up with Black Mask going on in the future, which I'm okay with. I mean, I like knowing that, you know, he's got his new face now and one that he says suits him better and he's good. And we'll see what happens with him later. But I thought it was real nice.
Yeah, he's kind of got this whole master of disguise thing going on right now. And I hope we see more of him and, you know, a different title, if anything, if he's not going to have another, you know, a second issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see. Let's jump into Aquaman 51. Just because I know that we're going to have a lot to say probably with Batman 77, because what the hell? So I figured let's just kind of go into Aquaman 51. And this was, well, Aquaman 50, we got the return of Jackson Hyde. And we haven't seen in Aqualad, and we have not seen Jackson Hyde, I want to say, since he confronted his dad in like Teen Titans. Before, like, they changed the team and they kind of rebooted it. I don't think we've seen him since then. So when I saw him in this book, I don't know why. I kind of, either I'm not digging how Robson Rocha is drawing him, but I don't know, man. His hair was super distracting.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his new hairstyle. See, I didn't know when the last, I'm not a Teen Titans reader, so I didn't know the last time he'd kind of appeared. I wasn't sure if that
it's been like at least a year and a half.
Okay, yeah, see, I'm not a fan of the new hair either. That was my first take.
Yeah, so I'm guessing Robson Rocha, he just doesn't have, because when he jumps off the cliff, and to meet like Arthur, and because, you know, he's pretty much, it looks like Jackson Hyde is just, he called up Arthur because he was kind of, it looked like he had some suspicious behavior. I mean, he looked like a suspicious person, and that's why he was brought into the police station. So it looks like they were trying to do some kind of social commentary there, probably, because that's kind of how it felt, because it felt a little bit on the nose, but I could be wrong. So when you see Arthur going like, all right, well then if you, because Jackson Hyde looks like he just wants to be like the next Robin. He wants to be a sidekick. He wants to, but he doesn't want to be considered a sidekick.
He doesn't want to be a sidekick, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be, but that's pretty much what he's kind of like asking. He just doesn't know the right word for it. So Arthur's like, well, okay, well, there's a lot of things that you need to do. It's not always crime fighting and punching people. It's not always like that. So he's like, well, the first thing we need to do is jump off this cliff. He jumps off. And that picture of him jumping off, his hair and his mouth, like he just looks really weird.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to it.
Exactly. Like you'll see it when he's jumping. It just looks really off, and I'm like, this hasn't looked at all like what Robson Rocha has been doing in the Aquaman book. Which it just, I don't know. It kind of feels annoying. I'm not digging it. But really, the reason why they're doing it is because they are clearing the new area for the Elder Sea Gods that we have been introduced to since the beginning of Kelly Sue DeConnick's her run. And besides that, I mean, I'm really digging the banner between all the characters. I'm loving like the supporting cast that we've been getting with the Aquaman books. Have you been following Aquaman?
You know what? I have not. I got back. Obviously, I read this issue, but that's one of the ones I haven't. I kind of fell off. This month's been really hectic for me with me being sick, and then I've kind of had these vacations going on. So I've really been slacking.
That's right.
On
but you've been busy.
Yeah. I've had a hectic month, but you know that I do. I've been trying to catch up with as much as I can, and I'm really missing out on a lot of this Year of the Villain stuff. But the more I've been catching up this past week, I know I talked to you while I was in the hotel. And mm-hmm. I was just sitting there reading a bunch on my phone, and I was catching up on Deceased. And there's a lot that I've been missing out. But I'm going to have to go back and read Aquaman, because the last issue I read, I think, was the Mother Shark one I talked about with Clay. So it's been a few issues.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's been quite a bit. So, yeah, because after that, then you must have been completely surprised learning about everything with Volko, and it looks like he is engaged to marry Mera. Little wedding planning, that wedding planning stuff, that's all funny. And I really liked it, even though the Mother Katia, she kind of knows, she's like, nah, you're stalling. You're waiting for Arthur. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, they need to have that conversation ever since she mentioned that she was pregnant and Arthur kind of freaked out. And said he had to go, and all hell broke loose. So I'm really curious to see when it's going to happen that these two actually do reunite. But I kind of like that it's not happening so soon. I like that there's a distance because they're both growing in their own ways. So I'm always cool with that. I know Aquamera fans, or whatever the ship hashtag is with them, Aquamera. I know everybody wants them because with comics coming out once a month. 15 comics of them not together, that's a year and a half, that's a long time. I get it, but I don't care. I like different stories. I mean, we just saw the movie 5 months ago, and they were kissing during explosions and a world war underwater. So, I mean, we're okay. Like, I can take something different. Besides that, it looks like they are running into some trouble because There's something going on in this mysterious part where the sea gods are at, where there was a legend's tale that was told, and it started in the last issue, where it looks like there was a man who was in a lighthouse, and in that lighthouse, he mysteriously disappeared. But when we saw it, it looked like some kind of like Cthulhu, huge like tentacle looking weird monster looking thing, and I believe that the one that we got teased with. The last issue is the one that we actually see at the end of this issue, which is one ugly-looking freaking monster. So I'm curious to see what happens with Aquaman. I've personally, I mean, it's going to be hard for you since you don't know all the background with most of these characters, but I got to say that I absolutely adore what's happening, and I think that Aquaman, it's a pretty strong book right now.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Aquaman in the past, where I said I dropped off, and I really do. That's probably going to be one of the first ones I'm going to go back and catch up on, especially because of how this issue ended, and I want to be 100% filled in. But I've always loved, enjoying Aquaman, and it's a character I was never really ever really into up until about 6 months ago, when the movie came out, and I enjoyed the movie so much, I kind of was more interested into reading him and started, picking up his issues every, adding them to my pull list. But yeah, I was very, especially now that you're telling me that the last issue dealt more with that Legends tale, I'm going to have to go back and read that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you kind of want to know exactly what's going on currently, just read issue 50, because issue 50 is pretty much all the sea gods, which you kind of have already read up on. If you've been reading the Mother Shark stuff, they're now just in Amnesty Bay. So issue 50, the previous one, is where you get Mera declaring she's going to marry Volko. And you get to learn kind of like it's really the part one of the new story arc. So if you kind of just want to be caught up, just read one issue. And, I mean, you'll be fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, Batman.
Oof.
Okay, I'm just going to preface this by saying I really do hope that this book is a swerve. I hope so, because this is massive spoilers. Like, the other stuff, who cares what we just talked about? This is massive spoilers, so if you don't want to know or you bought this book and you haven't read it, like, just pause it and just read this book, because Tom King... He did a no-no. Like, this is a no-no.
He did a very bad thing.
Yes. And, well, trying to be as, like, vague as possible until we get to that part. Did you like when you read that page? What was your immediate thought?
Oh, I had to just sit there. I kind of went backwards and reread the few panels that led up to that again, just because I wasn't sure. I had to retake that all in a second. I had to read it a second time just to take it all in and absorb exactly what I just saw, because I didn't expect it at all. That's not what I mean.
No, not at all. No, I'm with you. Because this entire book, this was a very, very, very fast read. Even though there is quite a bit of dialogue, the book went by. I think I felt like I read it in like 4 minutes, and it's one of those. This is the entire book in a nutshell. It's pretty much following Damian Wayne, and Damian Wayne is doing what he is not supposed to now with Bane taking over, which is there can't be any Robins right
None
now.
Bat family,
yeah, no one in the Bat family. Yeah, that's the better way of saying it. And because if they are found, Alfred, who is right now being held, will die. Damien, because he's Damien and he's a 10-year-old, 11, no, he's a Titan, Teen Titan, so let's say he's 13 years old. He's a stubborn kid who's always been able to beat his way out of any difficult situation. So he felt, all right, whatever, Gotham Girl, you don't scare me, and he was able to somewhat escape in that situation, gets confronted with Thomas Wayne. Thomas Wayne is pretty much now meeting, I guess you would consider, well, he considers his grandson in a really twisted way, although he's from a different Earth, so it's not technically his grandson, but he's trying to take him in. Thomas Wayne is, it's whenever I read, like, The Button, and you're getting dialogue from, or seeing him in, like, Earth 2, Thomas Wayne and Tom King's run feels so out of character. That from what you've seen, because the guy is a smart dude, you know, like, mm-hmm. like he's a very smart man, but he seems like he does a lot of stupid decisions, or it doesn't seem like he's. So I'm kind of thinking that he's not necessarily in control, and he's being controlled by Psycho Pirate, and this is all Psycho Pirate just working with Bane, and he's kind of manipulating everybody, and even people who you think are bad. Or think that they know what they're doing, they really don't. Like, they don't have total control of what their actions are. I'm kind of hoping that's the case with Thomas, because I can't see someone think, like, oh, you're my grandson, and kind of talk to him as a grandson when he clearly knows that's not him. You sound like a crazy person. Anyways, they confront each other. They kind of have, you know, Damian take some haymakers, and he lands them. And, you know, they kind of fight, some dialogue in between. In between that, you got... Well, with you, how do you feel with actually Catwoman and Batman? Because Batman, well, let's say Bruce at this time, he woke up finally. He finally mm-hmm. woke up and he was able to confront Catwoman. Did you like the way, considering the last time they were together, this is an issue 50 thing, he got left at the altar, you know, she left, there's like just like a letter or whatever, and now we're here at this moment. How did you like the way that their first interactions?
I felt like it was. I mean, I guess I get it when, you know, Bruce is at such a low point. But at the same time, I feel like he was so devastated that he wouldn't have been comfortable with her. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I guess he was at such a low point and beaten that it almost makes sense, but I feel like it, based off of their last, you know, how everything went, it wouldn't. You know, I try to, I don't know, I try to rationalize it, but I can't.
No, I hear you, because in a way, I guess you kind of wanted it to be a little bit more grand, where, you know, in a situation that he was in a really low point, or maybe he was in the process of getting defeated and kind of Selena either saves him or helps him or something. I mean, I guess it's nice that it's intimate, but I guess it's just kind of odd that clearly he's been carrying this with him the entire time since issue 50. And the first time he sees him, it's kind of like as if they were never separated. You know, like,
yeah,
it was
like
kind of like, oh,
fine.
She's there, she's just cooking. He's just like, he wakes up and their approach and he's like, I lost. Dude, I mean, like, I don't know. Now, is he able to just compress all of that and just move it aside because there's something bigger going on, which is what's going on with his dad and that Bane's taken over Gotham? And, you know, he's disciplined enough to be able to just leave that the dramatic stuff aside. I don't know if he is, because, I mean, we've seen him a lot already in his run unraveling with this decision of what Selena did. So I feel like something like this would have just opened up those wounds compared also with what he's currently going through. I don't know.
Yeah, we saw how much it affected him even after issue 50. I mean, it had lasting effects. It wasn't just something that happened and, oh, I'll be Batman and get over it. He didn't. I mean, it took, like you said, it took a toll on him. And yeah, now that the more I think about it, yeah, I feel like it was kind of out of character based off of how everything ended.
Yeah, because then from there, it jumps into them having dinner. They're out there having dinner, and they're just kind of talking about everything that's going on, and he's just kind of discussing, like, you know, well, I'll go there, and if I die, I die. At least I'll die in Gotham where my parents were dead, and, you know, it's a good death, and that kind of... But I'm reading it, and I'm like, are we not going to address anything, like, not at all, like, the elephant in the room? Like, she pretty much, because of conversations that she's had with Bane, did what she did. But we don't know, we're not getting any of that. Will it come? Maybe. Maybe it will. Maybe not. I'm not sure, but I don't like that they're completely ignoring that huge elephant in the room, which was like, where were you? And I hope that they're not going to say, well, the conversations that Bruce and Selena were having during, like, that nightmare arc, no, those were nightmares, so that better not count. Because that's all pretty much in his head. That's not really happening. Those aren't real conversations. Now, maybe the things that we're hearing are true, and that's pretty much the reasons why. That could be its truth, but it was a nightmare, so that doesn't count. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember the last time I've gotten closure from a nightmare.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah.
So then we go from there back to Thomas and Damian. Damian gets defeated by freaking getting his face smashed. And it ends to the point where Damian is now tied up and he's hearing some voices in the background, and you can clearly hear that one of them is Alfred, and Alfred is kind of like playing for this not to happen in front of the boy. And we're like, you know, like, wait, it's not going to happen. Like, come on. Wait, you know, I 100% expected that this issue was going to end with you seeing that Alfred was about to die. Like, just in one of those really bad situations. Like, oh, okay, yeah, he's going to be in a tough spot. And now next issue is going to be all the whole entire issue where he's going to be, you know, dying. But no, we actually see Bane snap Alfred's neck, and that's the
Maxwell Lord style.
Yes, Maxwell Lord style. Yeah. Or and I mean, this is Thomas kind of reveals, well, now, I mean, now we have you, so now if somebody else shows up, what happened to Alfred will now happen to Damian. So I don't know how to accept knowing that Alfred is gone. I can't. Now Tom has been mentioning this is going to be generational change kind of stuff. So are we going to be seeing, you know, Alfred gone, and now we're going to be seeing a Batman no longer with an Alfred? Is that why now we're having Batman and Catwoman? Is Catwoman going to be that side? I can't see Catwoman filling the void that Alfred fills.
I sure hope not.
I would actually be pretty pissed.
I sure hope not.
I'm hoping that this is some kind of, you know, like Professor Pig did some kind of weird stuff and put some kind of mask on or something, and we just got some weird looking, some person that kind of looks like an Alfred. I don't know, but I would be furious to know that Alfred died like this. And then I would feel more confident with my prediction, which was when, you know, on our Slack chat, we're always talking about, well, hey, what do you think will be the generational change? Well, it could be this, that we no longer have Alfred, which is something that you've never had with Batman. Or I kind of predicted where Thomas was going to do something to kind of reveal that he wasn't bad and probably try to help Bruce, and Bane ends up killing like Thomas in front of him. And he's like, wow, he just lost his father again, which will break Bruce to the point where he'll kill him. And the generational thing is that Batman actually killed Bane. Now I'm thinking, okay, forget about the Thomas stuff. Like, clearly, I can totally see that Bruce will now kill Bane because of this decision. Because I like this right here, I feel was the last thing that was holding him back from ever getting to, you know, that part of losing his, like, you know, all of his humanity. Like, whatever was left of holding that line, I think that line was being held by Alfred. And if Alfred is gone, I don't know, man. And now I don't even know what's going to happen with Damian, knowing that he's the one that caused it.
Man, it's just a hard pill to swallow. It was, I had a pit in my stomach after reading that. And, you know, in a way you're right, because Alfred is pretty much, you know, the father figure that Bruce grew up with after, you know, his parents died. So he's pretty much losing a father all over again. Like, you know,
oh, absolutely.
Thomas isn't the one.
Yeah.
So I could totally see that. And, you know, with that cover, I think, what is it, 83? The cover.
Yeah, 83, that was teased that he's picking up Bane, like deadlifting him, and it looks like he's going to do the, you know, breaking Bane. I don't know. I mean, I just remember, like, seeing that cover, I always thought of, I think during I Am Suicide, Batman probably says, like, 9 times during that story arc, I'm going to break your damn back. So it's just, when I saw that cover, I was like, okay, so it looks like this is going to be kind of, like, justified. Because even the I Am Bane storyline, it felt like Nightfall in reverse, which was now Batman putting him through a gauntlet and getting him to fight all these inmates in Arkham Asylum to kind of tire him out, so then Batman has that upper hand where they can kind of fight a little bit more evenly. So I feel like this whole thing has been kind of like a Nightfall in reverse. So, I mean, we'll see. But I'm pretty sure, based on what we've seen, Bruce will kill Bane. Like, that will be my generational thing.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, that's where I'd put my money, you know.
How would you feel about knowing that in the future, like, the Batman that we know has killed Bane, and now Tom is done with his run? Sure, he has his Batman Catwoman, but in a way, the way DC works, that is no longer really going to be like a continuity kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It'll just be within the Tom King continuity, because we already know that we're getting a new writer, so that new writer is going to want to be doing their own thing. And there's been tease that once Batman 100 comes, something really big is going to be happening. So I don't think that this is going to be a long-lasting kind of thing. It looks like it's going to be like a one-year timeline. But I don't know. How do you feel knowing that for a one-year timeline, we might not be seeing Alfred? We're going to be seeing, this is like Punisher Batman. Even though he's doing it to one person, I mean, who knows if he's just going to snap? I don't know.
Yeah, where does that put him? I mean, after he's crossed, I mean, that, like the one reason he's never killed is because he's worried that once he crosses that line, he won't be able to not, you know, turn back.
Yeah.
So, who knows? I mean, there's so much that could happen after that point. I mean, my mind races to automatically, you know, maybe Bruce becoming, you know, after he does kill Bane, him moving towards an Alfred role, and maybe we finally get Dick Grayson back in a Batman role, and maybe Bruce steps in that way, and that's kind of the generational change. It's literally
maybe,
or you know, like you know, I don't know if this was just, you know, obviously it's just deceased, but maybe we see, you know, Damian stepping up to, because of his grief, maybe it really makes him mature. I don't know. These are just some off the top, you know, things that are coming to me as we discuss, and so I don't know. I'd have to, but there's a lot. There's so much more. I'm sure. You know, more, we could think of more that'll come to, if that were to come to fruition.
Yeah. And then the thing is, I mean, we only got 8 issues left. So I read this, and I'm like, man, this seems really early in the story for it to be. Because, like, how long are you going to drag that Alfred was dead? You know what I mean? Like, this seems like it would have been more, I would believe it more if Bruce and they were getting ready to, like, confront each other and they snapped his neck. And now they were getting ready to fight. But this is him still with, like, Selena. So, like, that's why I'm like, man, this feels, it feels early. That's why I think it's a swerve. But if it's not, I mean, I'm not going to be happy about it. Especially since I've been getting so close to Alfred. I'm like, freaking A, man. What the hell?
Yeah, Alfred's always been, you know, the voice of reason, the one, you know, like the father, you know. I'm with you. I'm not going to be happy if he's the last one, honestly. I'd rather lose a Robin before I lose Alfred any day. Any of the Robins.
Yeah, I agree, actually. And that might be an unpopular opinion, but whatever, it's ours.
It's our, yeah, screw
that's
it.
Right. Shut your face. Anyways.
King is speaking.
That's right. Take it. Anyways. So, that's actually going to wrap up the show, because like we said, it was actually going to be a short show. So look at that, 36 minutes. Clay. When we're done with our third book, we're like at minute 55. So clearly we need to step it up. All right? So stop rambling, you.
Well, Clay's got some hot takes and stronger, more strong opinions than I have. So.
Oh, no. 100% I know Clay's going to want to talk about this book, because I'm sure he's going to – he needs to bash it. I know he is. Unless there's a Bendis book next week. I'm not sure. If there's a Bendis book, then I'm sure that'll cover enough hatred in there. But I'm sure he's going to want to discuss this book.
I'm sure he would have had plenty to say about the Jimmy Olsen book.
Oh, yeah, no. He hates everything. I don't know what this guy likes. I have no idea what he likes.
Power Rangers.
That is true. Power Rangers. Well, even though even that he said sucked. That has been bad for like 9 months. But Go-Go or something like that has been good.
Yeah. So that's the one I've been reading,
actually. Sooner or later, we'll find his sweet spot. But with that being said, Jake, where can they find you?
At Nerdgrounds, like we mentioned earlier, probably switch it over to Beekeeper Jake, but it's always at Nerdgrounds, NERDGROUNDS.
Sweet. And you can find me at Mark Reads Comics, and you can find the Comic Book Legion Twitter handle at CB_Legion. If you are interested in being a contributor, a writer, anything, just anything.
Talking on the pod. Get a mic.
Yes, just go ahead and reach out to us at comicbooklegion@gmail.com. And Jake, thank you for your relief appearance, sir. It's always appreciated.
Hey, it's always glad having you. Thank you for having me. I always have a great time on the Comic Book Legion podcast, and I'm glad I could fill in for Clay while he is soaking up them rays of sunshine and happiness over at Disney World.
Yes, absolutely. And soon, me and Jake, we actually have some cool things in store. We have a lot. I guess the best way for me to describe it is that I was talking to Fred, because Fred was curious. He's like, hey, what are you doing with Jake? And I'm like, well, we're going to be doing a show. You guys will find out soon with like a logo reveal and all that, what we're planning. But I was telling, I was like, you know what? He's like, you know, this is, yeah, what you guys are going to be talking about. It's a big seller. It sells. That sells itself. And I'm like, dude, I don't even care about it selling. I just want to talk about something else.
And this is something that we've talked about in the Slack chat, and it's something we've been passionate about for our entire lives. And I'm very excited.
Because this is actually, I love this more than comics. So I'm 100% stoked. So considering the fact that I've been doing like comic book podcasting for 3 years, and I love this topic more, is even better. So I'm super stoked to talk about it. So we'll be discussing that, and we'll be revealing it soon. But in the meantime, thank you again, Jake, and thank you all for your support, and we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Later, guys.